Welcome to Federal News Network's Data and Application Security Series, brought to you by Four Incorporated. Here's today's moderator, Justin Doubleday.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. My guest today is Manuel Gauto, Chief Engineer on the Navy's Black Pearl program. Hi, Manuel. Thanks for joining me.
Morning, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get an update on the latest and greatest on the Black Pearl program. But, you know, for folks who maybe aren't aware of what the program is, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Black Pearl was started a few years ago to address the issue of duplicative infrastructure for DevSecOps and software factories. And kind of what happened was my organization, then Salute, now Sigma Defense, was on task concurrently to build three copies of pretty much exactly the same thing. So then the idea was born of, hey, rather than doing the same thing in three different places in exactly pretty much the same way, why don't we do it once, do it well, and offer it as a kind of enterprise service to the DoD so that folks can focus on kind of what does DevSecOps actually mean to their mission rather than how do I buy cloud? How do I deploy this application to the cloud? How do I get it accredited? Which turned out to be the most difficult part. Surprise, surprise. So that's kind of where we started. And over the last few years, we've grown and partnered with a variety of organizations in the Department of Navy. So we're working with PEOI WSX Forge. They're the Aegis Weapon System Software Factory. Another recent one is the RAIL, the Rapid Autonomy Innovation Lab. And they're the folks that are chartered to kind of manage and deliver autonomy to the UXV fleet in the Navy. And then a smattering of customers all over the place. We have folks at NAVAIR, a couple folks at NAVWAR. So we're kind of pretty pervasive at this point. And we've achieved a full ATO through the Department of Navy up to Impact Level 5, gotten that process down. We've actually helped develop some guidance to make it easier for folks to talk to authorizing officials in the Navy about containers and cloud and Kubernetes. And last, I think the last big thing we're working on now is Impact Level 6. That's kind of the natural progression for us. We've gotten unclassified down. Now we're moving on to getting secret ready so the folks that aren't able to operate it on class also have an option. And that's kind of what we've been up to these days.
Got it. So there's a lot going on here, and we can certainly delve into some of those things you mentioned. And just as what's your role as chief engineer? What are you kind of focused on a day in and day out basis?
So I'd say my role as chief engineer is kind of two key parts. First off, I interface with our customers, especially the larger ones with more complicated use cases, and try to understand where the offering is today and where they need it to be and how do we get it there. And then following that, I also manage the ongoing roadmap for the product offerings. So Impact Level 6, what does that look like? What cloud do we go to? What tools do we need? What customers are going to get into the beta? Which customers aren't? And dealing with those kinds of things. And then also, I think I have a big role in stuff like this, kind of like outward-facing communication and being the punching bag or the face, depending on the day, for Black Pearl and making sure that it has a voice out in the community.
Every program needs a punching bag within the federal government. But no, we appreciate you being willing to do these communications. And yeah, I'd love to learn a little bit more about just how the program has been able to scale in the few years that it's been around, where you've seen successes and where you've seen challenges.
So we've had challenges around, not so much on the technical side. I'll start with the technology. On the technical side, it's been relatively straightforward. We knew we were going to need to scale upfront, which is an advantage, right? So we chose an architecture that would enable that. We chose Kubernetes. We went straight to the cloud. We went whole hog on containers. Like, we were ready from a technical perspective to meet the demand. Where we've had to focus resources now is how do you stand up a help desk? How do you automate common help desk issues? How do you facilitate onboarding? How do you build connections with the various parts of government you need connections with to help people when they have issues with NMCI? Or like warfare centers use a different type of internet provider. So now we know that. Like now we know the folks that work there and we can send them an email directly to get stuff like that sorted out. So it's a lot of the procedural stuff that's kind of been the focus area for us scaling. And I think we've done some stuff really well. Again, the technology has worked well. We've been automating things from the beginning, which is now paying dividends. And then I think lastly, we front loaded a lot of the work with the authorization. So we kind of had a baptism of fire when it came to the authorization. It was a process. But now we've built the relationships. We understand the policy. People know who we are. And we represent a big enough community that it's easier to walk into a room and say, this is what we want to do. We know there's not really super clear policy around it, but like, let's have a conversation. And I think things like that is, it's really what's enabled us to scale over time. It's building those relationships and being able to stick to our guns and say, like, no, the community actually needs this. How do we get to yes?
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Just getting the brand awareness, I guess, in a sense, within such a large organization like the Department of the Navy is a challenge in and of itself. And getting folks to trust you, I imagine, is a time-consuming process. One of the things that we are exploring from this series is cybersecurity, of course, and software security. And, you know, that's obviously a big priority for the Navy, for any sort of Defense Department national security function. What is Black Pearl's overall approach to securing applications and software from these evolving cyber threats?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's kind of two parts. We have to protect Black Pearl as a platform, and then we have to offer tools for the folks that are leveraging Black Pearl to protect their applications. So I'll start with the Black Pearl stuff. Like, this is one of the things that keeps me up at night, right? I have had a phrase with the team of just like, don't make a decision that's going to make me testify to Congress or put me on the front page of the newspaper. So we've done a lot of work to provide or to implement security in addition to compliance. A lot of the accreditation process, RMF, it's very compliance heavy, and it's, you have to check these boxes, and it gets you a baseline of security, I guess you could say. Like, it keeps you from doing things that are too silly that will put you in a position where you're going to get yourself in trouble. But when you're operating in the DoD and you're a outward-facing organization with a name that people know, easily shows up on Google, right? Like, you have a pretty advanced threat profile. Like, if I were an adversary and I wanted to access a treasure trove of source code at the controlled unclassified level, Black Pearl, Platform One, like Overmatch, those organizations are exceedingly attractive. So we put a lot of work into what can we do at runtime to protect us against, like you said, novel threats. Like, a lot of times we get in the real world, you get owned by little things like SQL injection, like just the silly things that trip you up. And we rely and work with our vendors a lot. Like, for example, GitLab has been really good about giving us heads up on security advisories and being like, you need to patch this as soon as it comes out because you are vulnerable, you are exploitable. Like, those kind of relationships with our vendors are exceedingly valuable. So we're prepared to mitigate threats as they come up. And then we do the work to protect the underlying infrastructure. We've done all kinds of stuff with logging and runtime enforcement and policies. And that's all for the Black Pearl platform. Then when it comes to end user applications, that's a whole other can of worms because we don't own the production environment. So what we do is we provide, I would say, tools and advice. Like, there's a ton of tooling out there for security. There's tools for SBOM. There's tools for scanning. And like, we're producing all this data. I think the main challenge where we're navigating now is what the heck do you actually do with all that data? And how do you collate it and present it in a way that is meaningful to authorizing officials and decision makers so that they feel comfortable saying, I feel good about this application. I feel like we're secure. Because it's one thing to have a better tool or a faster horse or whatever, but then you have to convince the folks to actually use it. And we've had that challenge with end user applications and the platform itself, where like, we've used a container scanning tool and we've had people come to us and say, yeah, but it doesn't look like a Nessus or ACAS. So like, I don't know what to do with this information. And that's kind of the next step we're taking of, we've provided the tooling, we provide the advice. Now it's like, okay, how do we provide a framework for people to interpret and deliver this information to decision makers? And then from there, like, it's much easier for them to actually implement these tools that will make their software development approaches more secure. Like, we can actually start producing SBOMs, we can start analyzing our dependency trees. But I think that the thing I'm trying to say is all of the tooling in the world isn't helpful if it doesn't present the information in a way that is actually useful to the end user. And that's kind of our main focus area when it comes to security tooling.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that you hear that a lot in cybersecurity is, you know, we have all this data, but what does it mean? How does it actually help us? That framework that you referenced, is that a dashboard that's easy to, you know, read and kind of get indicators off of? Is that just, you know, traditional framework where you kind of provide some guidance for, hey, here's how you use X, Y, and Z and bring them together? What are you thinking about these days?
So it's a little bit of all of it. So there's a few pieces. One, I'll speak to one of our offerings that's kind of under development right now, which we're calling Shipyard, which is our software factory for delivering to the cloud. And it's like Black Pearl's opinion on pipeline structure, gates, production. Like, it's going to be an end-to-end thing. In that case, it will be the whole thing. It will be the policies and procedures. It will be the rules for the code scanners. It will be a little dashboard or something that's like, you are good to go or you are not good to go because XYZ. And then on the other front, something like that is not helpful for example, the afloat or undersea community, which we're the Navy, right? Like we have a ton of ships. We have a ton of stuff that doesn't go to the cloud. We're really focused on how do we help those folks? And that's where we've helped push policy through things like RAISE or ASAP. Like we were kind of involved in some of those processes. And then now providing tooling. A dashboard is a really common one, but where we're actually at right now is we've built a couple of, we call them transformers, that take the output of one tool and make it look like a tool that authorizing officials are familiar with. And that's kind of our intermediate step. It's like, hey, let's at least start leveraging the data and make them comfortable with where the data is coming from. And then we can have a conversation around, okay, well, maybe you can take the data in its less transformed form because it actually has even more information that may be more helpful for you. And that's where we're really focused now, is having those conversations with the authorizing officials and kind of, in a way, negotiating what they want to see on behalf of the community.
And again, that's Manuel Gauto, chief engineer on the Navy's Black Pearl software factory program. We're going to take a short break. I'm Justin Doubleday, and you're listening to the Data and Application Security series on Federal News Network.
Securing your agency's data is paramount. IBM API Connect, integrated with Noname Security, offers a tailored solution for federal agencies. Protecting sensitive data isn't just about safeguarding. It's about ensuring availability, recovery, and reliability to support mission-critical operations. As an IBM Platinum partner, 4 Inc. trusts IBM API Connect, integrated with Noname Security, for unmatched speed and efficiency in securing, accessing, and ensuring the integrity of vital data. Visit FOURINC.com.
Welcome back to the Data and Application Security series on Federal News Network. I'm your host, Justin Doubleday, and I'm speaking with Manuel Gauto, chief engineer on the Navy's Black Pearl program. And Manuel, we've spoken a lot today about how key it is that your program has developed relationships with the authorizing officials in the Navy. You know, how do you think the authorization process, though, is keeping up with advanced threats and new technologies? And, you know, what do you do at Black Pearl to ensure both your internal platform and your customers go above and beyond what's in the security authorization process?
Yeah, this is where you get me in trouble, Justin. So I would say, per usual, right, policy and bureaucracy usually lags the cutting edge. I think one of the key things organizations need to do is they need to commit to security over compliance. Like, that has been a core thing for Black Pearl from the beginning. Because when it comes down to being compliant versus being secure, I will pick secure 11 out of 10 times. I can defend that decision. But if I choose compliance over security, like let's say I don't patch for a known exploit, and then I get compromised, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I was compliant or not, the data is now out there. And like that's an organizational level commitment. Like that's, and I think we see that, right? Especially the folks that are forward deployed, the weapon system guys, like all those folks, they understand, right? Like they have a mission. They need to get munitions on target. That is what they care about. So I think when it comes to things like that, that's easier. Then it's getting to the authorizing officials, who I think they have the best interest at heart, right? They want the Navy to be better. They want the Navy to be secure. But they also are custodians of this process that has been built upon for a long time now. So we kind of have to slowly guide them into alignment with the newer technologies that are coming out. And I think that's where we've had success. And our strategy has changed over time. My strategy at the beginning was much less diplomatic than it is now. It was very just shoving it down their throats until they agreed. And now my approach is much more, we've brought in a lot more people. We have a cyber team on Black Pearl. Like we've built relationships with the authorizing official team. They now work together to figure out how to get to yes. It's much less adversarial. And like we're seeing, even in the AO offices that have a reputation of being less flexible and a little more behind the curve, we're starting to see them say, oh, actually, you know what? Having guidance for container scanning is a good idea. Having a process for interpreting these results and having an opinion about how we want them to deliver to us is important and helpful to the Navy. So like we are seeing changes. It's just like any large organization, it takes time and it takes patience and it takes repetition. We are getting there. And I think the last piece is everyone knows that the threat profile the Department of Navy faces is advanced. It's nation state level. A lot of things you don't have to worry about on the commercial side, we have to worry about here. So I think everyone's aligned in the understanding that we need to be ready to protect against those threats. and we need to have the tools necessary to respond to those in real time. I think it's just struggling between using it as an excuse to not follow the policy at all or melding the policy to support that use case. That's kind of where we exist today.
Got it. So one thing we've been exploring as well in this series is just protecting data as it kind of moves across kind of these modernized software services, software applications, so on and so forth. And one thing that was interesting that came out of the Platform One interview we did with the Air Force was that the Air Force is actually working on a application programming interface guidance, API guidance. And I think that's one attack vector that has cropped up in recent years. As you look across kind of your portfolio, the services that you provide, you know, is API security something that you're thinking about? How does that fit in?
Absolutely. So I'll speak to the stuff internally and the stuff externally again. So internally, we put a lot of work into protecting data, both in transit and at rest. In transit especially, right? Because that's where you get in trouble. We don't build a ton of applications internally that we expose externally. Like, we have a lot of automation and a lot of bots and stuff like that. We, if they even have APIs, are the kind of things where we whitelist who can talk to it. It's encrypted in flight. It's then wrapped in a service mesh, so it's encrypted again. So we do everything like that to keep things under wraps and protected in flight. And then we rely on our vendors to be sane in their design choices. Again, I'll pick on GitLab again because they're the biggest application we use. They've joined the Secure by Design pledge, and like they do a lot of work to make sure that their APIs are secure, put together sensibly and all that stuff. So we rely on our vendors for that piece. I think the more interesting thing is what we've been seeing from the customer workload perspective, where we are just now getting to the point where the idea of having a standardized API, especially like an HTTP API, which is like the modern way of moving data around, is finally actually getting to these systems. A lot of them use legacy data brokerage systems, like proprietary message buses, and like you have frankly no idea what's going on under the covers. It could be using carrier pigeons for all we know. It could be plain text. So I think what we've been seeing is a lot of the customers have been using legacy or proprietary data transit mechanisms, some of which we aren't even super sure how the data is moved, how it's encrypted. Some I've even seen systems that use proprietary encryption algorithms that aren't even standard. Like, we've seen all kinds of stuff. But now with the movement to containers and this big push for system modernization, software modernization, we're starting to see a move towards more standard systems like service meshes for defining how data moves about a set of systems, or open source message brokers that support NIST compliant encryption algorithms. So we're starting to see that. And that makes it easier because then you're building with known good components and it's less that we have to worry about. And we know that there's a large community behind these products that's like, if there is a security vulnerability or there is some sort of issue or bug, like, it's quickly addressed. And then the other side of that though is then you have to worry about things like supply chain security. So you're kind of trading one issue for another, because if you're using an open source product or even an enterprise open source product, you have to worry about things like the backdoor that was injected 6 years ago that we don't know about. So it's a trade-off. We are starting to see a move towards more standardized components that provide more security out of the box, provide for the encryption in transit, the encryption at rest. And honestly, as you kind of coalesce around a more standard set of solutions, problems stop looking so bespoke from system to system. So now we're starting to see some of the weapon system folks talking to the autonomy folks and being like, oh, we have a problem that's really similar. This is how we solved it. And like, suddenly now the autonomy folks have a place to start rather than investing a bunch of money starting from scratch trying to figure out this problem that they thought was bespoke.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're starting to see that cross collaboration between the mission folks there. Another issue that I think we've touched on a little bit is you mentioned this, how you kind of have a piece in the cloud, but then you also have the folks who are afloat, obviously, it's the Navy. To what extent are you kind of relying on the cloud at Black Pearl? And then where does that kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, kind of end as you then go deploy things out to the ships? And just what's that kind of environment kind of looking like? How does that evolve? And where does cybersecurity come into play there?
Absolutely. So Black Pearl itself as a platform is completely cloud native. So So all of our core tooling, all of our infrastructure lives in the cloud. Where we start touching kind of that hybrid architecture is we build a lot of communication paths to help our customers get to their production. That's one of the key roles we play. So for example, if you are deploying to a destroyer, right, you need to eventually get up to secret, get up to an operational network that then gets you through a satellite or something, gets you out to that ship. And that's where we work really closely with the customer and their authorizing officials to build those communication paths. And we have to have security guarantees at every step of the way, like just to make sure that the thing that's getting onto the ship is the thing we built in Black Pearl. So what we've done is we have built connectivity paths to different cloud providers, to different operational networks. So what we kind of have is like a menu of, I'm starting in Black Pearl, but I want to get to X. How do I get there? And we work with them to get the right wires plugged up, the right like cross-domain solutions. We know the right points of contact. And what we've done too is provide a toolkit for how do I cryptographically assure the integrity of the thing as it's moving through this process. That's not really required yet, honestly, but it's something that's kind of core to that whole SBOM supply chain security type of approach. So as we built this connectivity, and as we kind of work with customers to just get things out there, we're also providing them a toolkit so that later when they have this really great idea completely on their own, I'm sure, hey, maybe I should cryptographically assure the integrity of my artifacts. They already have all the tools in place to do that. Again, like we are also doing all the things of how do we try to handle things like encryption in transit. We handle the key material for it. We handle setting up the VPNs. We handle setting up all that stuff so that the customer just thinks, I want to get from point A to point B. Black Pearl handles the connectivity. I just know that at the other end of this pipe, my thing will come out and I can do what I need to do. And that's kind of how we look at it. So when you look at our entire architecture, including some of the customer managed stuff that they've integrated with Black Pearl, we have hardware at labs. We have compute in other people's clouds. We have physical, for example, we have UUVs and UXVs that are actually integrated into Black Pearl to be used as part of a pipeline for hardware testing. So our architecture looks highly hybrid and highly distributed once you kind of take a look at the whole picture.
All right, great perspective there. And, you know, you've spoken a bit about what's in the works for Black Pearl, what's coming down the pipeline. You know, just in the few minutes we have left, anything that you want to highlight that you're excited about that's coming up that you just really want folks to keep in mind as they engage with the Black Pearl program over the coming months or the coming year here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple things. I want to emphasize that Black Pearl is an enablement organization at its core, right? We are not trying to be the one software factory that rules them all or whatever. We're trying to be, and I think we've proven that we are partners. So if we may have not been the right fit for a use case before because we just weren't ready, but we've grown a lot. We've learned a lot. We have a lot more access to connectivity and compute and tools. And so I'd say if at one point someone had an engagement with Black Pearl that looked like it wasn't the right fit, but you're still stuck, I think I would encourage folks to come back. And then secondly, two things that I'm really excited about is IL6. Like, it's nice. Like, we're kind of in a closed beta for that now. So that's something that's up and coming. And if there's folks out there that are interested, please reach out. And lastly is Shipyard. It'll be nice to finally have a end-to-end software factory in the cloud for the Navy. Again, we have a ton of afloat platforms and undersea platforms and all kinds of stuff that can't use that, but it is good to have that capability in-house finally. So that's really exciting for me.
Excellent. All right. Great way to leave it. Again, Manuel Gauto is chief engineer on the Navy's Black Pearl program. Manuel, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Federal News Network's Data and Application Security Series, brought to you by 4 Incorporated.